Hello, thank you for joining us today on the Feast of Trumpets, the Christian Feast of Trumpets. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Even though today is the weekly Sabbath, it is also an annual Sabbath, a holy day. Observing the biblical holy days and the weekly Sabbath on Saturday is what sets believers like us apart from most others. And I have never believed there is a need to apologize for my faith or attack the faith of others. Many who do not observe the holy days or the weekly Sabbath believe these were done away with through the death of Jesus. Those of us who observe would not come to the same conclusion as these others. The purpose of today's sermon is not to defend why we observe the weekly Sabbath and annual holy days, but to review the meaning of the day. If you are interested in understanding more about why we observe the weekly Sabbath and annual holy days, you can reach out to me via email on the link on the website at sabbathbiblestudy.org. The Feast of Trumpets, which we observe as the Christian Feast of Trumpets, is commanded back in Leviticus chapter 23, beginning with verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. We know from Leviticus that the day is a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and the trumpets that will be memorialized at a future unknown date are found in the book of Revelation. And we will look at this book later in today's sermon and see that seven trumpets are mentioned. Paul, in several of his writings, tells us that the sound of the trumpet is linked to the resurrection from the dead. We will see that Paul refers to this resurrection as happening as the last trumpet sounds when Jesus Christ returns to the earth. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul reminds us to have hope in the resurrection, knowing that even as Jesus died and rose again, so shall we. He tells us that those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and that those of us who are alive on the earth will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Jesus in the air, and that this happens at the sound of a trumpet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. To the Corinthians, Paul writes that this transformation from physical to spiritual bodies occurs at the sound of the last trumpet. And today is the Feast of Trumpets, where we memorialize these trumpets. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The trumpets that Paul references were written down by John in the book of Revelation. And within this book of symbolism is mention of seven trumpets. And the seven trumpets are so devastating on an unrepentant planet Earth that the seven trumpets are preceded by a period of silence identified as about a half hour, a very long time. Typically, we can expect to experience a moment of silence, or at most a minute of silence. But these seven trumpets come with about a half hour of silence. A very somber time for planet Earth and the plan of salvation for God. While it is a time for us to memorialize our future victory over death, it is not a time for us to be looking forward to the destruction of the evil we see on earth with a sense of bloodlust against people, but rather to look forward to the destruction of the evil we see on earth so that the kingdom of God may be established, recognizing that our enemy is not the people of the earth, but Satan, the devil, and his demons. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and filled it with the fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. The seven angels prepared a sound, and fire, perhaps caused by a thunderstorm, destroyed a third of the trees and all of the grass. Verse 6. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hell, and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. When the second angel sounded, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, killing a third of the sea life and destroying a third of the ships. We don't know what this great mountain is. It could be a flaming asteroid slamming into the ocean. It could also be an exploding volcano. Because most ships travel in three oceans, the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian, it could be that this trumpet focuses on one of these oceans. This second trumpet could also be something else. Verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. When the third trumpet sounds, it is described as a great star falling from heaven, burning like a lamp. This could be a flaming asteroid that falls in waters, and because the minerals on this asteroid are toxic to people, people who drink the polluted water die. Stars falling from heaven can also be symbolic of fallen angels. We simply don't know exactly how these prophecies are intended to play out. What we do know from these verses is when we see a third of people dying from polluted waters, it may indicate we are in the time of the third trumpet. Verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. When the fourth trumpet sounds, the sun is darkened by day, and the moon by night, as well as the stars, again by the fraction one-third. We are not told physically what will cause this to happen. We don't know if it would be an eclipse covering just a third of the sun and the moon. Because a third of the stars will be blackened, this could indicate some other type of event. Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. There is also another consideration on these first four trumpets. Could these first four trumpets be memorializing the falling of Satan and the grief caused to humanity by this rebellion? Again, we do not know. What we do know is that a woe is only pronounced on those living on earth when the final three trumpets sound. Verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." When the fifth trumpet is heard, most likely Satan, symbolically described as a star, falls from heaven with the key of the bottomless pit. In his vision, John saw what he described as smoke arising from this pit that darkened the sun and the air. John also described locusts coming out of the earth that had the torment of a scorpion that would only attack people who do not have God's protection. These locusts made the thunderous noise of horses running into battle. John further described these locusts as prepared for battle, having the faces of men, and that this event goes on for 5 months. Did John see a mutant locust? Did he see something like an armed combat drone or helicopter? Or did he see something else? We don't know. Moving forward, if we come to a time where we see a battle that aligns with this description, it would definitely be a good time to pray for God's guidance and protection in our lives and the lives of our family. Revelation chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there comes two more woes hereafter. When the sixth trumpet sounds, it signals what is described as a world war involving 200 million soldiers. Right now, world armies total 65 million. So the warfare described in the next few verses significantly escalates the number of soldiers. We can't tell from the verses that the 200 million person army is the army of one nation or all nations combined. The size of the army indicates a possible world war. This war kills one-third of the people of the earth. Verse 13. And the angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For the power is in their mouth, and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. They should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. At least 3.5 years or more later, the seventh trumpet sounds. Between the time of the sixth and seventh trumpet, as the book of Revelation is written, the two witnesses are described as causing torment and grief to people on earth. If there is a world war that kills one-third of humanity, that event could give rise to the beast and the false prophet, whose message is favored by the remaining unrepentant people of earth. When the seventh trumpet does sound, it signals the end of man's and Satan's rule on earth and the establishment of the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ ruling eternally. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, for they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Jumping ahead several chapters in Revelation, we come to a time when Jesus is pictured riding a white horse, followed by the armies of heaven also riding white horses. What we don't know is the time frame of the sounding of the seventh trumpet to having Jesus ride on a white horse descending to earth along with the armies of heaven. We do know this happens after the two witnesses have made an impression on humanity, after this global conflict that kills one-third of humanity. We do know that when Jesus returns, the beast and false prophet are tossed into the lake of fire, and the army of the beast and remaining followers are killed. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come, and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Those both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. On a day looking forward in prophecy, we can be reminded of how Jesus responded when his disciples asked about the end of time. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. We know the road ahead will be a bumpy road, and that just like the two witnesses, we will be hated of all nations, but that even during the most difficult time, we must continue to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Jesus tells us when we see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, that those who are in Judea are to flee because the great tribulation is about to begin. We are not told what the abomination of desolation is, though the Greek gives hints of idolatry. It could be another religion taking hold of the holy places of Jerusalem. It could also be a reverence of government and leaders with their military strength, rather than revering God and Jesus Christ. We do not know. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We are warned to be wary of people claiming to be Jesus Christ or prophets claiming to represent him. We are told that when Jesus returns, it will be as evident as sunrise. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth, behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. We know that after the tribulation, we will see heavenly signs before Jesus returns in the clouds with power and great glory, and that at the sound of the trumpet, the elect will be gathered together. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Jesus tells us that when we start to see these things, we know the end is coming fast in the collective lifetimes of the people who see them. Only God the Father knows when Jesus will return and these end time events will start. The end time events will creep upon humanity like the flood surprised the people of Noah's time. Verse 32. "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered unto the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. We are told to watch and pray, because we do not know when Jesus will return. We are told to be that servant who is doing what Jesus told his wise and faithful servants to be doing, and not to give up hope in the face of evil that we see about us. We must continue to the end to be saved. Verse 42. "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus then describes what is needed to be part of the kingdom of God, and first uses a parable of the 10 virgins, with 5 foolish or unprepared virgins and 5 prepared or wise virgins. The oil in the lamp is symbolic of the Holy Spirit within us. We must guard, protect, and seek to grow spiritually through the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is within us, when times are good, when times are bad, lest we find our light going dim at the time of the end. Matthew 25, verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We must deliberately and purposefully plan for our spiritual growth to be part of the kingdom of God. At baptism, God will give us a small portion of the Holy Spirit. What we do with the Holy Spirit that is given to us is up to us. If we do not grow the Holy Spirit, we are like the servant who buried his talent and hid it. Instead, we must spiritually grow and develop. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thee into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For to every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus returns, we are told people will be separated into 2 groups before they are given eternal life. Those who help other people and those who only provide help to look good before God and Jesus. We are told in order to be part of the kingdom of God, we must help other people, understanding in so doing, it is like we are willing to help Jesus. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the angel and his devils. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And ye shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous in the life eternal. Those who are saved are those who listen to Jesus and are learning to fulfill the law by perfectly obeying God and perfectly showing love toward fellow man. The Feast of Trumpets is a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets, even though the trumpets we memorialize look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. We know the road will not be easy, and Satan will present many obstacles to tempt us to leave the straight and narrow path to the kingdom of God. In all of this, we cannot turn to the left or the right, and we must remain focused on the kingdom of God, seeking the righteousness of God, knowing God will protect us according to his will in our life, and as we spiritually grow, and as we learn to fulfill the law by perfectly obeying God and showing love toward fellow man, we know in confidence that Jesus will return to earth, and that we will be gathered together from around this world as God's elect to help establish the kingdom of God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath and a few days after that on the Day of Atonement. Until then, thank you for joining us today.